This is Tall Boy Radio. Each week, your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, grab a beer and discuss whatever it is that's on our minds. We try to keep things uncomplicated. The premise for this podcast is as simple as we are. Not only can you listen to us at tallboyradio.com and on every podcast platform, you can also watch the video version on YouTube. Just search for Tall Boy Radio or click on the link on our website. If you have a story and want to feature on the show or just want to get in touch, drop us an email at mail@tallboyradio.com or leave us a comment on social media. At Tallboy Radio on Twitter and Facebook, and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram. Or you can leave us a message on the Anchor app, which we can play on the show. Right, the show is about to begin, so go grab yourself a cold one, kick back, and enjoy.
Welcome back to episode 114. Who'd have thunked it? 114 episodes in, and we're still going strong. If you are recognising the voice, then it's me, it's Gaz. I'm back from the wilderness, back from the land of various injuries and COVID, and I'm looking forward to leading this. So before we introduce our guest, let's introduce our two main co-hosts. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first, just in case Andy's mic's not working again. Yeah, nice one there, dude. Second intro. Yeah, first one was probably better, but that one. The beer I'm drinking tonight is a beer from the London Beer Factory, and it is called Jungle Trip, and it is a 5.3% New England Pale Ale. Now, I was trying this one, and it was lacking a bit of that hoppy goodness. Do you know why?
Because it's not a pale ale.
It is a pale ale. It's not an India pale ale, which is what I thought it was. But yeah, psychic. I knew you had special powers.
Yes, absolutely. Tell me, Andy.
We're back. We're on the old loopy juice water. And then we do a long can. Vocation, life and death as well. It's not going to focus, is it?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. There we go.
Nice. That's, I think I've tried that.
Six and a half.
Yeah. Good. So just before we introduce our guest, I'm on, I don't know if you can see that, so Shipyard IPA, about 5%. I quite like this, actually. I've had it a couple of times before, quite like that one, so pretty run-of-the-mill. So yeah. Right, we've got a guest on this week, been on a few times now before, so without further ado, do you want to introduce yourself and let everyone know what you're up to and what you're drinking?
Hi everyone, good to be on the show again, good to see Gaz back here, back there, back in the driving seat, all in one piece. I've finished my abstinence from alcohol. I went for 64 days and thought that was enough. And tonight I'm drinking a ruby ale.
Nice work.
So a nice drop there.
Super. Just before we get, sorry, that was an error. I realised I said that then. I really tried to stop myself from saying it. Just before we get into what it is that I want to talk about this week, have we got any shout-outs? Anyone want to give shout-outs to anybody in particular? Ad, anyone in particular? Two, okay?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Last week when it was just Andy and myself, we mentioned about the idea of getting pub time back on. But pleased to say that is now in the diary for about a month's time. I think it is maybe a little longer, I can't remember. But we've got a date organised, so we're going to have the guys from pub time on soon. So that'll be Brad and Ryan. Whether Dick from Dayton will be joining us as well, I don't know. But hopefully that'll be great. And then one final shout out I have to do is we had Mega Man on the podcast. Do you remember that episode, Gaz? We did it around about the start of the year.
Yep.
Magazine just published in the Los Angeles County area, and he is the number two podcaster in Los Angeles. That's how he's
Really?
And you think Los Angeles County is like, it's huge. Literally, it's bigger than about, I think, about 40 of the states. There's only 10 states that have got a bigger population than the greater Los Angeles area. So the podcast in there is probably about the size of what it is in the UK, if not bigger. And that guy's ranked number two, so we're absolutely honoured to have that guy on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that was a great episode. It was. It's always nice when you get guests on, particularly from sort of over the pond. And we've managed to sort of build up a sort of small repertoire of sort of guests and stuff that we have on at various times. So always nice to see that they're doing really well. Andy, any particular shout outs at all?
I don't know. Well, I follow a few people on the old Facebook, so like the Happy Hour and stuff like that, and Pub Time. So it's been good to just reading up on what they do and stuff. So. It's been good having them on as well, the few podcasts I've done this year.
And obviously we got a little bit of nice feedback from Al, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, maybe two or three episodes ago, mate. We had some quite nice positive feedback from him on people that had commented on him sort of saying and sort of how sort of thoughtful and how sort of professional comments were and all of that. So that's nice. So keep spreading the word and keep following. Do you want to give out his handle again on Twitter? I can't remember. Is it Al
Shep MCR?
That's it, yeah. Al Shep MCR. So give him a follow on Twitter, and he always gives us a bit of a retweet and a shout out, so that's decent. Right, moving on, guys. A couple of things this week that sort of I've been still watching a bit of TV. First of all, have you seen the Will Smith Chris Rock incident? Have you seen it or not? A little bit. I suppose you can't really miss it, can you? Real or staged?
I don't know.
Real. 100% real.
Really?
I probably look faked.
I couldn't decide. I'm with Dave.
That's a perfect. We've got one real, we've got one fake, we've got one. Oh, I'm not too sure. So that's perfect.
I'm not convinced. I'm not totally convinced that it's real, but I think it probably is. But I've lost a lot of faith in everything that I see on television, so I can't say that I can wholeheartedly believe in it.
Yeah. What made you think it was real then? What gut feeling or?
I think it's got to be real, because if it wasn't, they would have said so really quickly, because it's blowing up quite quickly, and you've got people saying about Will Smith, he's damaged his reputation, you're into violence, there's kids in the audience, and it's just going very south, very negative, very, very quickly, and they've done nothing to stop that. If it was a joke, they were the PR people. They employed very clever PR people. They'd have said very quickly, this is backfired, call it now. And they haven't, so it's 100% real.
Hey, Andy, what are your thoughts?
When you watch it, you see Chris turning his head, like just pull the hand comes. Oh, he could just be bracing for it, but it just looks odd. But Will Smith's laughing about it as well. That's what annoys me the most. He laughs at the joke, and then he looks at his wife. He's like, "I better get up and say something now."
but it's weird because I watched it and Will Smith was laughing at the joke. Now, if you were that offended by it, you possibly, I don't know, would you have laughed and then maybe thought, oh, actually, that's wrong, and then do something about it? Would you have laughed in the first place? Because he was laughing, you know, he made the G.I. Jane joke and stuff, and Will Smith was laughing. Then all of a sudden, Chris Rock was like, oh, and he sort of, you can see him walking up, and I was a bit like, oh, what's going on there? So I'm not sure.
They have, when they're in the audience there, these celebrities, that they just have this kind of laugh along. They're acting, they're laughing along because they know the camera's on them.
Yeah.
Can't sit there not laughing because it creates a story, it creates an issue. So they have sort of this laughing along with it, and which is what he was doing. But then when he saw his wife was obviously upset by it.
Then triggered him, and then he's then thought, I've got to say something, yeah.
I'm sure he regrets it. There's no way he's thinking, I'm glad I did that. It's a bad thing all round.
It is a bad look. It's a bad look all round. Ad, go on, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I think, to be fair, you know, he's had a fair bit of criticism, the guy. But I think you put yourself in his shoes, and there's somebody making jokes about your wife and say she does have alopecia like his wife does. I think fair play to him for using an open hand. This is part of you. Step one up and with closed knuckles, wouldn't you? You stick
one
on
him. Because loads of people, you do a bit of reading and this, that, and other. And people sort of, you know, actors know how to, and particularly people in action film, you know, they know how to make it look like you punch somebody, but actually it's a fist and this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, if he was that offended by it, wouldn't he have just punched him? I don't know. It'd be interesting to get perhaps a couple of the guys' takes from America and just see the reaction from that side of the pond as to what they think. Because obviously, I can't make my mind up. And obviously, you do your reading and stuff. And as you said, Dave, you wonder whether or not the PR people behind it would have gone, whoa, hold on a minute, you know, this is all gone a bit too far. But it got me thinking, and it's a slight spurious link. And I thought, so who's come out of that as the bad guy then? Chris Rock or Will Smith? Chris Rock for making a joke in the first place, or Will Smith for his reaction?
Allegedly, that joke was one that he's added in, isn't it? It's not one that was scripted. He added it in. The G.I. Jane joke was something that wasn't due to be said. I think Will Smith's probably mostly vilified, but I think the thing that really bothers me most about this is the last 2 years, you've seen everybody sticking on Facebook on their profile pictures those little badges that they stick on saying be kind. You see people wearing t-shirts, be kind, be kind, be kind. You see it everywhere now. And then you get someone like Chris Rock standing up and making jokes about someone's personal appearance, which isn't through choice. It's a genuine illness. And, you know, losing your hair for dudes like me and Andy ain't really an issue. It saves me 15 minutes in the morning getting sorted, but for a woman it's a bigger deal because they're all sold these beauty products and how to have the perfect hair. It's in every fashion magazine, and if you ain't got the perfect hair, guess what, we'll sell you the product because you aren't perfect enough, we'll sort you out. And this woman then loses her hair And this guy's making jokes in front of a national audience. And it almost says, do you know what? It's actually okay to make fun of people who are different to you.
But Chris Rock's a comedian and he's known for that type of comedy. So therefore, are you not expecting that by making him? Do you go with it?
You are. You go to the audience. You stand in an audience, or sit in an audience, rather, at Chris Rock, whether it's that. They make fun. I think Ricky Gervais started that when he did the Golden Globes. It literally turned into a bit of a roast. I just think, that's a little bit personal. Make jokes about alopecia. Make jokes about bald people. That's all well and good. But when you single someone out in an audience who doesn't want to be singled out, clearly, you can tell by her reaction, she didn't appreciate it. Yeah. I think you have to ask the question, was it the right thing to say? Because I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Well, on the flip side to that, though, they proper air their dirty laundry out on the TV and stuff, don't they? So it's not really out of line from what they normally go on about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You would go and watch Chris Rock or whoever, and some of the jokes you'd be a bit like, that's sort of funny, but I shouldn't really be laughing. And so you expect a level of, a certain level of, as you said, I'd roasting people maybe. And I just thought, who was more to blame there? Was it the guy for telling it, or was it for the reaction? And I can't sort of make my mind. But what I did think, and this will show you how my mind works, is that, and I'm going to ask you a question now. So when was the last time? Because when I watched it, I was a bit like, so I wasn't expecting that. Not stunned by it, but wasn't quite expecting that. So when was the last time maybe that either you saw something or you heard something that actually stunned you, that made you sort of stop and think, when you were, I wasn't expecting that. It could have been sport, could have been music, could have been anything. Not too personal in your personal lives, obviously, but sometimes, where you sort of went, I was expecting this, but then this happened, and crikey, and it made you take a step back.
I've got an example.
Go on then.
When Bo was over and he did a Boilermaker.
yeah, you enjoyed that one, didn't you?
I'm still enjoying it, yeah.
So, anyway,
I think it's from your two reactions, though, when you turn around and say, no, it's not bad, that.
Yeah, one, two.
Yeah, it was okay.
I've done it since, but it was all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not something I might do regularly. But it was a time where you sort of, not quite with stunned. I don't want to go down the where were you when this happened or where, but, perhaps something you see, you go, I sort of wasn't expecting that. So, and I haven't obviously prepped you for it, so it is a little bit off the sort of cuff and stuff. Because I watched that incident and sort of went, and it made me do a bit of a double take. I wasn't quite... I maybe thought Will Smith walked up there, and when the sun slapped, I was like, oh, Christ, that's not what I was expecting live on TV sort of thing.
I think the Oscars needed that, though, because there's no interest in it, and people are bored of it, People are tired of seeing overpaid people like that when it's difficult living at the moment with the cost of living. And chances are, I think Ricky Gervais made a joke about it as well. The gift packs that they'll have been given on arrival are more than you're going to earn in a year in all likelihood, and we're supposed to sit there and applaud it. And people are getting sick and tired of it.
Just overindulgence, you think?
And then something like that happens to, really draw attention back to it. And really, I don't really think anybody really cares what frocks were worn or who won what award, but it certainly got attention. I can't really think of anything else that's really grabbed my attention, although I did see earlier today that the New Orleans Saints had just signed Anthony Dalton on a one-year deal. That was a bit of a surprise.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that made me go, that was another one. But in a good way. So, Dave, anything maybe that's not made stopping your tracks as such, but made you sort of like, wasn't quite expecting that?
The only thing I can think of recently was just, and it's a bit boring, but it just fit the sort of emotion. And it was just in a meeting at work a few weeks back. Obviously, I'm not going to go into details, but we're just sitting there, four or five of us in a meeting, and one person just then started to say stuff that he just totally didn't expect. And he just didn't know where it came from. He didn't expect it to come from that person with the view they had. So that emotion, that kind of, woo. Yeah, if that's what you're asking, then
that's what I'm saying. That almost awkward sort of feeling that you didn't quite expect, you didn't quite know how you were supposed to react to it because you've seen it, and you think, well, is it real? Is it staged? Am I supposed to? Was it done to provoke a reaction from the audience, or do you know what I mean? But for me, it's a little bit like And it made me stop and sort of thing. So, that was what got me thinking.
I got another one.
Yeah, go on.
listening to last week's podcast, the amount of talking Andy does, that made me think, my God, what's going on? He never shut up.
Never. I don't believe it.
It's true, I tell you. He spoke more than Adam.
I struggled to get a word in edgewise last time.
Never.
It's because I wasn't drinking.
I tell you what did make me this week sort of almost stop and do like a wasn't expecting that was obviously news coming out of the Foo Fighters. That was something that you were like, ooh, and you just 50 years old?
Yeah, 50.
I haven't subsequently found out. Do we know what happened or circumstances? Or I know was it in a hotel room he's found, wasn't he? But David, heart attack. Was it heart attack, Andy?
From possible narcotics. Prescription and all sorts of stuff in it.
Do you find yourselves, and this might just be me, which may make me look a bit of a weirdo, but whenever a celebrity dies nowadays, do you always think, I wonder if it was suicide? Is that the first thought that goes through your head, followed by drugs?
I do think drugs, for me, that my instant, and obviously I apologise if there was nothing involved as such, but the first thing for me was, I wonder whether he's taken something or he's OD'd or, you know, there's been a party or whatever and there's been some sort of concoction of stuff. But that's my first thought all the time. And then potentially it's, has he been quite depressed because of, and therefore he's taking his own life? So they're the two things. So I absolutely agree with that, Dave. Maybe I would go to the drugs first rather than the sort of take your own life. But absolutely, they're the two.
Yeah, I'm with Dave, actually. I tend to think of it in that order, you know, whether it's suicide, intentional or otherwise, because still you end up potentially taking your own life by your own actions, even though you didn't intend to do it.
Yeah.
And I did wonder in this case, he seems like outwardly a very happy individual. Well, that means absolutely nothing, as we've seen. And the reason I've stuck my Wales shirt on today is just, you know, out of respect for A, Wales having a great result, and B, just some of the comments that Gareth Bale has made. I thought you'd probably mention the Will Smith thing tonight, and some of the comments that Gareth Bale's made in the media about his treatment. And he made comments about celebrities who take their own lives, and actually the media have a degree of responsibility how they report things. And I actually thought, you know, he made some really, really sensible comments after his two fantastic goals there.
The goals were fantastic. And what was it a parasite? One of parasite, the papers, yeah, called him a parasite, and he's obviously had his right to reply, which is where do you think, in terms of, I mean, a slight tangent from what I was talking about, but in terms of the media there, where, how much of a role do you think they do play then, Ad, into, you know, for celebrityism and sort of either getting at people or building people up? Where is fair reporting and where do they cross the line?
Reporting often, unfortunately, doesn't really come into it. What, unfortunately, people do to be able to sell newspapers is to print a headline because you want to read about that person. And everybody needs to fit a category. So they will label someone and that's their opinion and they will share that of them. You only have to look at the tragic circumstances of Caroline Flack, the way that she was portrayed in the media, and it was the reporting and things like that that led to her suicide, because there were stories told about her that may or may not have been true.
Yeah.
But the perspective put on it by the media is, you know, it really, really affected her. And nobody really understood that actually this was a girl who had severe depression,
yeah,
a very severe view of herself and how she was seen and her social anxiety and everything like that. And then she ended up taking her own life literally because of the way that she was portrayed in the media. And I just think that they have a duty. I mean, to be honest, if you buy, I don't know anybody who buys the printed press anymore. It disgusts me. It sickens me. And I don't look at it. And I've lost faith over the last 2 years in pretty much every media outlet anyway, but I don't want to get into that because we already got taken off Facebook because of the views Andy shared last week.
We'll get on to that. So
our podcast last week has been taken off Facebook.
Do you think then that we should be in a position where the media are held more to account for the things that they report on and actually... Mm. Because I agree with you, and I think potentially we're all sort of similar. There doesn't seem as though, it's almost like they can get away with it. It's almost like they can just say it and sensationalise whatever it is that they want. Very, very, very little.
There's nothing. Doesn't look like Piers Morgan.
Yes, yeah, Yeah, I was going to say, you know, and you, historically you're actually phone tapping and this, that, and the other, and all the sorts of things that he's done, and all of a sudden he's like, he's presenting on TV. It's like, well, then weren't you responsible for that? How does that work?
This is a guy who makes photographs of British soldiers abusing Iraqis. He knew they were fake when he published them.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's now on TV and he's front of the TV channel.
So where's the accountability? That don't get it. Dave, what are we going
to... I think that the media in general just seems a bit pointless in a large extent, because it's always about the public interest, blah, blah, blah. And any bit of news you see, like, you know, there's a pub that caught fire, and it was, you know, a listed building that caught fire. But why is that national news? Why does it matter? You know, there's the poor little kids getting killed by or mauled by dogs. Why is that national news? Why do we need to know that? What difference does that make to us? How's that informing us of things that matter? I'm not saying it doesn't matter, obviously, to the people, but that's them. That's personal to them. Okay, if you live local, if you know them, you're going to know about it. Why is it national news? Why is that stuff in the paper?
Okay, so Andy, do you want to say anything? I'm just thinking that before I have my say. Do you want to? Are they held to account? Should they be held to account more? What are your thoughts?
Are we going to get banned again?
as long as you don't mention COVID, we're good.
You've gone and done it.
COVID's not.
Yeah, if you look at like headlines and stuff like this, they used to be years ago. The headline used to be related to whatever's in the article. But nowadays, like the headline will be like Pep Guardiola's going to manage Accrington Stanley, and then you read the thing he says, and it'll be like, oh yeah, I've heard of that club, and that'll be it. And he's like, what's that got to do the headline? And then these articles then become all like gospel on like Facebook or whatever. And that's as far as I'm going to go.
I just think that yes, that they sensationalise various things, and I suppose what I'm asking is because of the expansion and the explosion of social media, do we even need the written press? And are they sensationalising things because they're having to do that to sell more and more newspapers? Because actually people can get the news from various other outlets. You look at your social media sites and online and this, that and the other. So actually, are they doing it just to sensationalise? Because the printed press is dead effectively, isn't it? That's what, you know, I don't know what the newspaper sales are sort of daily compared to what they were 30, 40, 50 years ago, whatever. But I can imagine them. I mean, you're in retail, you might know. I don't mean, are the sales slumping?
Yeah, definitely. I don't sell anywhere near as many newspapers as we do now. We, you know, as a business, we also do newspaper rounds, and very few of our shops actually do it anymore because it's just not worthwhile.
And that's basically because people, they're on smartphones, they can get it from elsewhere. And that might go more onto what you were saying, Dave, about you can, not necessarily you can choose, because social media is so out there, you can sort of choose the news that you want to read about. There's a social media, you can sort of filter things out, and you can, you know, you're scrolling through various social media sites, they go, actually, I'm not interested in that, I'll read that. Whereas I suppose in the printed press, it's all there, and yeah, you can flick through it, but you see the headline and then it grabs you and it's all sensationalized. But I think the point I'm trying to get to is, should there be more accountability, whether that's printed press or social media, for the things that are out there? Because a lot of people are quite sensitive to what they read. Is it always fact checked, fact based? Not sure. You know,
it's a big gray area, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's that blurry line of people's opinions and what is truth. And you'll never distinguish the two. But I always had this dream of hope of that there are like people out there that want to be journalists and actually just want to do the truth. But it depends how do they voice their opinions, and is it now just Twitter and stuff like that, or
yeah,
because newspapers died when page three died.
Oh, yay.
Builder down the road having a bacon sandwich and a bit of page three.
I always thought that the BBC news website was not bad at being impartial. Now, there's always people that say it's left wing, and then there's always people on the left wing that say it's right wing. But if in terms of the main just reporting what's going on, I think it's as balanced as you're going to get, apart from over the last couple of years, it seemed to had a slide into clickbait headings and sensationalizing. So they're sliding towards the red tops. So that the headline that they're doing it to make people click, and then you read the article and actually that's not what he said. You've just taken it out of context just to get me to click. So I'm even losing any sort of faith in that now.
It's just very lazy journalism. They just take one thing and effectively write about it. It's just very lazy that they don't, it seems like they don't bother just to either fact check or even research the story. It's just, as Adam, you know, sorry, Andy said, okay, Pep Guardiola can manage Accrington Stanley. Okay, we'll go with that. And there's no substance to the story whatsoever. They're just doing it for, as you said, clickbait. That's all that they're trying to do. So I don't quite know how we got onto that from Will Smith and Chris Rock. There's a couple of left turns that we went down. But I do think that, and it goes back to what Al Shep said, I suppose, in terms of the society, how people perceive it and what, you know, he was talking about, you know, see different people differently in the phrase and change your mindset and change your concepts about how you perceive things. And as a society, we've just got to be careful we don't get too drawn into actually the sensationalised aspect of all the news that we sort of hear and see and read. Absolute complete left field now. And it's, again, it's something that I'm going to throw a question out to you. And it's something that I saw today on the news and completely different than what we were just speaking about. Should there be an age cap? Should there be an age limit on heads of state, prime ministers, presidents, monarchs? Just because, and you know, I the Queen's done an amazing job and stuff, but when you see it, you know, she looked really frail, and she looked really, and I know, Ad, you're a massive anti sort of,
yeah, there should be an age cap zero, get rid of them all.
But you just, you know, so should there be a time where you get to X age and actually there's just a natural progression? So when the Queen gets to, I don't know, you know, 90 or 100 or whatever it may be, then it becomes Charles. When he gets to that age, it becomes William, and then and so on and so on. I don't know what you're... And I don't just mean monarch. You know, it could be prime ministers, it could be presidents, because the amount of stick that Biden is getting over the states is horrendous at the moment, you know, and he's, I don't know how old he is. Was he late 70s, is he, whatever he is? So should there be an age? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I saw someone on Twitter a while back saying that you wouldn't hire someone who's 70 years old to work in an office or whatever. They're generally, people over like 50s are sort of like looked down on, aren't they, in a normal working society?
Yeah.
And then like, these are exclusively running the countries.
Yeah. Like, well, you got a 75-year-old guy that's running the country. You're like, well,
yeah, he should be sat at home, sat on the porch, drinking moonshine or something like that.
You know, would you, so for example, you know, okay, I'll go down the American route, you know, would you get a 75-year-old guy running Apple, sort of Microsoft, Facebook, you know, Twitter, whatever it may be? You know, you're not going to get a 75-year-old guy running them, are you? He's going to be, thanks very much, take my money, I'll retire, let somebody else do it. So should there be a cap? Should there, and you can go into deep, you know, is it an ability to do the job effectively? Would Charles be able to do head of state better than the Queen at the moment because he's younger and he's able to go to more functions, he's able to carry out his duties more successfully than the Queen is because of her age and her health? So should there be a natural...
They're all capable of collecting our tax money, you know, so...
and you when I brought this up, it was going to rile Adam just a little bit.
I hate the monarchy. My Google, Google chipping in now on taxes.
Come on then, Alexa. Come on, Google. So I don't know, Dave. What are your thoughts? Because obviously, Andy, I think we know where Andy is. He's like, yeah, been off. What do you think?
I think there's clear distinction between the royal family, who of course don't cost the country any money and actually generate revenue for the country.
Oh, Adam's face. What did you just say? Horseshit, then, Andy? Is that what you said?
Oh, am I still on silent?
That's different because they are. It's the person. It's not the function they're doing. It's more the person that they are and the position they're in. That's why people like the Queen, because she's the Queen.
But do you not think that with the role comes certain responsibilities that she is now not able to complete?
No, other people just do that stuff. Other people go around and cut ribbons and stuff and be patrons of charities. It's all spread out through most of the royal family, not all of them anymore, but most of them.
Yeah.
I think that's completely different. Then you've got the work environment, and I think that's just down to ability. I don't think age matters. I think if you're leading a company and you're doing it successfully, then your age won't matter. If you're not doing it successfully, whether you're 30, 70 or 90, you won't be doing that job unless it's your own company and you're running it when you shouldn't be, but then that will have its own downfall eventually. But that, yeah, that will just sort itself out.
Yeah.
Head of state, where you're elected into the position, that's different again, because with Joe Biden, you know, he was elected there. I know the Americans have a funny way of doing it, but ultimately he won the election. And you could say he's getting a lot of stick, but, you know, Trump was younger than him, not massively younger. Joe Biden's 79. Trump is younger. But, you know, he was far worse. And that was nothing to do with age.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's very, very difficult if you want to put a cap based purely on age, because your mental faculties and your abilities could be, you know, an 80-year-old can be well more switched on than a 50-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it's a competency thing, effectively, yeah.
He's a hell of a lot smarter than probably any of us.
Well, you say that.
Andy, not smarter than Andy. I'm having that. But first, I think I agree with Dave, though.
I'm not falling asleep yet, though. Sorry.
He's not sold himself yet. I think the thing with Biden is, the question about him is not really to do with his age. It's to do with his competency. There's a lot of questions about his mental state and whether he has dementia, and that's a whole separate conversation. So I don't think there needs to be a cap in terms of age, in terms of the monarchy. I'm not going to get Jordan.
Yeah, attention. I know.
You already know my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I know they're a drain and they don't generate any income, and we should just.
I'm not saying they don't generate income. You know, the tourism and what have you. You just need to, I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into it.
You desperately want to, though, don't you?
I do, but I know what. I want a positive, upbeat podcast. Like, come on. I don't want to be moaning. Just moaning about the Queen.
Should we start talking about transgender swimmers and stuff for a positive upbeat? Well, maybe not. Because that was one of the things I was going to talk about. I was like, no, let's not go there. Let's not. Well, I don't know. Do you want to talk about that? It was on my list, but I thought, ooh, not sure we should go down that route. But hey-ho. Nice positive upbeat. Go on then, Adam. What do you want to say about that then?
Yeah, well, the lad done good.
Dave,
I'm sorry.
Dave, do you want to counter that? Andy's spitting beer in the corner there. Dave, do you want to counter that?
No.
That's why I said we better not talk about it.
No, we did a lengthy chunk on a previous episode, didn't we? On that very thing.
So we got a lot of negative feedback after it as well. It won't be any different after that comment. I apologise.
Yeah, let's skip that bit. So, and I'm glad I decided not to talk about that now. So, you got me going on. Right. So the only basis, so they were the things that I'd decided that I wanted to sort of mention. The only other thing, in a way, and this is going to be sounds like full circle, is going back to the Will Smith Chris Rock thing, which you spoke about, I don't know, about 20 or 25 minutes ago, whatever it was. And when I said who was to blame, Will Smith or Chris Rock, who was the villain, and it got me then thinking about actually people that maybe, who was your all-time villains, or who was the guy that you thought actually he's pretty scary, or he's a pretty good villain, or he's the ultimate bad guy. I don't necessarily want you to go down with him. Oh, Hitler, he was a villain. You know, I don't really want to go down that route. But in a movie sense, film, TV, who would be your ultimate villain, and then why would that be? Because that was one of the things that led into, was it Will Smith or Chris Rock? So who would it be? Who wants to go first? Come on. Film, TV, could be books, could be sort of written.
Colonel Decker.
The
Colonel Decker. Colonel Decker from the 18.
Tell you, nobody liked him. He was military, but you knew he was a bad egg. We have a positive view and a positive spin on the media, but you knew he was a bad egg, because obviously the A-team had escaped and he was trying to take him back while they were just out there doing good in the world. Good God, what was he doing?
I thought, do you get out like Terminator route, because he was pretty bad. But then I was thinking, actually, if you watch Cape Fear, the remake, actually, Cape Fear, was it Robert De Niro? Was it Pacino?
Al Pacino, was it?
Because he's like really frightening. So Andy, go on, you're a massive film buff. Who would be the ultimate sort of villain and stuff?
I just said the Kardashians.
And explain why.
Well, if you look at all the crap that's been on since they've been around doing reality TV shows, and you look at, you know, like we're saying about this Be Kind and all that, it stems from their reality show with no talent, no interest, and on TV and spreading their crap that everyone's lapping up, like the teat of the Kardashians.
There's an image.
Yeah,
that's the way technology's gone now, isn't it? It's gone from like the all-time bad guy of like Saddam Hussein to now the media moguls of the world and different warfare.
So we've got Terminator, Colonel Decker, and the Kardashians. Dave, do you want to add to that list?
Baron Greenback.
Greenback. Danger Mouse, yeah?
Because he's always doing bad stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, Danger Mouse. Yeah, tell me one bad thing he's done.
He's always trying to blow up a mouse.
He is. And that wasn't necessarily where I thought this conversation was going to go. But hey, that just shows the nature of the Turbo Radio podcast, ladies and gents.
I tell you what, you can probably add me to that list as well, because I started off telling everybody to be kind about Will Smith's wife, and they made a cheap joke about a swimmer. So I apologise. I am Chris Rock. I will get slapped by.
We'll be in the social media police again, dude. Come on, we can't be banned from various, too many social media outlets. Duck come on,
there's a villain. That'll guarantee us.
This is going to be weird. Andy, do you watch UFC? Are you a UFC fan?
Occasionally watch some fighters.
So the last weekend there was at UFC London. So obviously they did this big card in London, and Paddy Pimblett, who's a Scouse lad, so he won his fight, and there was various outrage about how little he got paid for it. And he basically post fight interview, and this is 24-hour theory. He basically said he wanted to knock out Mark Zuckerberg. It's like, hold on, you're a UFC fighter. Like, where does he come into this argument? And it's like, you've just mentioned him, mad, so maybe he is an ultimate bad guy. I don't know.
Zuckerberg or Plumlee. No.
Paddy Pimblett, but no, yeah, Zuckerberg.
I'm not familiar with UFC, but I am a little bit familiar with that guy. I quite like him actually, because he is quite outspoken.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely. And when you see his post fight interviews, he's always, he's another, I suppose, Conor McGregor type character. He's quite controversial in what he says. He's always outspoken. There's a video of him in a hotel, I think, that with another UFC fighter, and they were basically squaring up to each other in the middle of a hotel, and bouncers have to get involved in this and the other. So, but yeah, Mark Zucker, yeah. So Facebook, he's a bad guy, isn't he? So we need to get him in the room 101. We'll get him in. Next time we do room 101, we'll get him in.
Related to what you've just said about UFC, I don't watch it. I'm not a fan of UFC or boxing. I mean, do you guys actually like watching two people beat hell out of each other on TV?
I don't mind watching UFC, I'll be honest. I actually don't mind it. It's a combat sport, but I think the problem was is that, and Michael Bisping came on, he went to Talk Sports, and he was talking to Sam Jordan, was he Crystal Palace chairman, and Michael Bisping was explaining that the general public perception of UFC is no rules, head biting, gouging, all this sort of back in the day, no weight class. And he said, actually, now, he said, it's much stricter. There's strict rules. He said, the refs effectively stop the fight. And he said, actually, you take less shots than boxers do. And he was trying to sort of justify why UFC should be slightly more mainstream. Ad, you're pulling your face.
I'm with Dave. I used to enjoy boxing. I'm very, very uncomfortable watching physical violence. I don't like it. I don't like UFC. I absolutely abhor it, to be honest with you. I've seen many, many clips where the guy's knocked out, sparkled on the floor, and the guy's leaping on, landing punches to an unconscious guy's face. And don't get me wrong, I understand why he does it, because you play to the bell, you play to the whistle. It's a sport. But it's that level of pitting one person against another to see who's best. I get it. That's what sport is all about. But when you bring violence into it, and there's a lot of questions about boxing. There's some very, very nasty injuries over the years. And that level of blows to the head, I don't doubt that you take less blows in the UFC because you haven't got that level of padding on the gloves. It's going to take a lot less to physically disrupt somebody.
And that was one of the arguments, is that actually they probably take significantly less damage. Yes, you can elbow, and yes, you can kick, and you can use all the different parts of, and you can choke people and this, that, and the other. And there's various elements of, you've got jiu-jitsu, you've got wrestling, you've got lots of different disciplines within, obviously, mixed martial arts, which is what it is.
There's also the argument in terms of boxing, you know, when people are sparring, they wear the headgear on. And the argument is actually that's actually worse because they can take more blows to the head and the brain is still getting shaken around the same
way. Well, you've got effectively your concussion damage, haven't you? You get hit to the side of the head, and whether you've got head guard on or not, your head still shakes, and effectively it's that shaking motion. So actually, you're not, I suppose, I don't know, are you not seeing perhaps the true benefit or the, sorry, not the benefit, but the true damage that's been done? Because you're wearing head guards, I don't know. I don't mind watching UFC. And I mean, obviously, it's much more regulated now. You prefer that over boxing, or are you more traditional sort of boxing fan? Or
I prefer UFC, but only because of the characters in it. So in UFC, a lot of it nowadays is generally the wrestling side of it. You might do a few strikes, but the thing they try and do the most is get them to the ground and get them in a hold. That's what a lot of the sport's about. But I just like basketball, I follow certain people, and UFC's the same. Like Bisping was one of my all-time greats.
Yeah.
He used to like train around Wilmslow and stuff like that. And, on the Contender and stuff like that. He's quite an interesting guy. Like, he used to go for like 15 miles runs every day. It's like, I don't even drive that.
he was a bit of a trailblazer, wasn't he, in terms of UK mixed martial arts. And he's probably the guy at the moment who, from a UK point of view, you've got obviously Paddy Pimblett, and you've got a couple of other guys, Aspinall, that fought last week, and obviously you've got Molly McCann, who's an Everton fan, she's been fighting and stuff. But I can't see where mixed martial arts is going to go. I can't see where combat sports is going to go. Do you know what I mean? So from you look at sport over the years and you look at how it's evolved, where does it go? I can't.
It's almost like it's too violent to become mainstream, isn't it?
It is almost too violent. And the problem that you've got is that lots of people have this historical view, because when it first arrived, there were no weight class. So you would have, you know, you would have the equivalent of a lightweight fighting the equivalent of a heavyweight. You might have a lightweight kickboxer fighting a heavyweight wrestler, for example.
We witnessed that firsthand, didn't we, when we went to London?
There was a definite difference. Maybe not in weight class.
Definite height difference. And you just saw what happened. Absolutely. But back in the day, you know, you could elbow,
the bigger guy won.
a good big and will always beat a good smaller, as they say in the boxing fraternity. And actually, that leads me on to the, was it Chris Eubank and Nassim Hamid? I'm sure there was a story there. They met in Heathrow or wherever it was, and they were in an air, and I think they had crossed words, and someone said, you got Nassim Hamid, you got Chris Eubank, and they were like, who would win? And they were like, Chris Eubank, he's like twice the size, you know, a good big and will always beat a good small one, sort of just because of, you know, size and weight advantage and stuff. But I think
didn't you say a good small one beat a good big
one?
A
good big and always beat a good small one.
All right.
I might have said it the other way around, but I meant a good big and beats a good small one.
That's what she said.
You keep drinking that water, Andy.
Or is it vodka?
I just think the problem you've got with UFC is when it first became aware in the general public, it was unregulated, and that was the problem. And this is what they've been trying to fight against for years, and Bisping does a hell of a good job. And actually, his interview with Simon Jordan was very good, and he was obviously spoke quite a lot about it and stuff. So, but again, I'm not quite sure how we got onto that. That's me. I think that's me done. We're coming up to a battle, just shy of an hour. I think we've got some guys from the pond who are coming on a little bit later. So I don't know whether you've got any final thoughts. You want to say any goodbyes? You say anything that you guys wanted to add?
Not really, no, dude. I mean, I'm a little bit excited about Titanic's new beer. Titanic, you've got a cherry porter coming out now. I don't know if you've seen that. You know, that's that.
I haven't seen that. I'm sure you will sample that. When's that coming out?
Very soon. They've not given a date, but they stuck something on their website, a little bit of a teaser trailer, sort of saying that it's the same sort of percentage. But yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out very, very soon, and I can't wait to try it, especially because All Sager is getting a Bod Cafe, which is a Titanic pub and cafe. So I'm really looking forward to that, where the old solicitor's building was. That's been converted into that. So
Is that
good.
The one?
Yeah.
Sort of opposite the mirror entrance or whatever.
Yeah, Holland's Head or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. That's going to be a Bod Cafe. So it means we're able at Christmas to get the Grand Reserve Plum Porter with the port in it on tap. So yeah, I'm really, really, really looking forward to that.
I'm not a big fan of cherries, but I am looking forward to trying that.
I like a cherry beer. I really like a cherry beer. How it'll work in a porter, I don't know. But I'm interested. They do a cherry. They do a dark cherry beer at the moment, and that one is pretty good.
I thought you were going to say they do a cherry Duchess then, because I'm sure that Andy, was it you that said they did a, was it a cherry Duchess? Are you up for trying that one then, Andy, or what?
I'll try. They do cherry, chocolate, and all sorts, don't they?
Yeah, because there were three. Did you say, or are there more?
There's the regular, then there's the chocolate, and then chocolate and cherry.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You see. Yeah. I'll just stay clear of all of those three. Dave, you enjoyed the Duchess, didn't you, when you tried it?
No. It started bad. Then I thought I was determined I was going to finish it, and then I didn't and tipped it away. And that is very, very rare. I think it's very rare. Any sane person tips beer away, but I can't remember the last time I did that.
So yeah, it wasn't. I have to say, obviously, stories when we were in London, it wasn't very pleasant. So, speaking of stuff that's coming out soon, I think it's May, the new Top Gun film. How excited are you about that, boys?
Not even slightly.
Oh, okay.
Racing cars.
No, it's flying plane. I'm flying planes. That's a flying plane.
Flying plane. What other sort of planes do you have?
You can have biplanes. You can have.
They don't fly.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Take your point.
Guys, careful talking about biplanes. We just got into trouble about that swimmer.
Andy, how's your homebrew? Talking of new beers and tipping beer away. Which category?
I'm not tipped away just yet. I'm going to give it a go this weekend. Stay tuned for the vomit cam.
You tried it?
No. I think it's going to be bad because it's in the conservatory at the minute. So it's been cold. But then, as I've been working in it, it gets warm and stuff. So the temperature's been up and down. So,
it's not the most ideal.
It's going to be stick with a double C and no K.
So what was, because I can't remember what you said, what was the plan for it to be like? What type? So was it like a wheat beer, was it, or a...
A Belgian, it was called Belgian ale, but it's going to be like a Belgian double, quite brown. It's very, well, I think diet is to mix in all the, as a mash and all that, it's pretty much just like a syrup to pour in and put hot water in and cold water and all that sort of stuff. I don't think I enjoyed the process because it was very, very messy.
So, in my mind, Andy's process of home brewing and home beer is big vat of whatever it may be, pour water in, keep it there for a couple of months, open it up, and then just drink it. And I think in my mind, that's what Andy thinks that process is like.
I wish I did. I bought a big 25-litre barrel and I filled it. So yeah, it'll last a weekend, hopefully.
So would you go through it again? Would you do it again and perhaps experiment with different flavors and different?
I want to do it from scratch. So like maybe do an IPA or something like that and try dry hops. And I just want to try and do all the mashing and all that stuff first. And if I do that okay, then I'll try and do like dry hops and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one's just a try run. And I don't really have, at the minute, before I get the extension done, I've not really got the facilities to house beer.
So you're getting the extension just so you can house beer then. I like that.
Yeah.
I know it's quite seasonal, but you do some gins and stuff, don't you? You do some alcoholic beverages of your own.
I do. Every Christmas, I make my own gin. So it is largely just steeping it. So I'll buy a basic gin and add some different flavours to it. I've done like a slow gin. I did a raspberry and mint gin, which I'm telling you was absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to do it that probably again this year, because last year I got a bit carried away and I did a cucumber and kiwi gin. And it looked like piss, to be honest, as it was fermenting. And then I got it out and I sniffed it and it was fantastic. And I tasted a little nip of it and it was absolutely amazing. And I bottled it up to give to everybody. And just before I did, I thought, this seems to be getting a little bit darker in colour and that doesn't make any sense because I've taken the fruit out of it. So I tried a little nip of it again. Oh my God, it tasted what it looked like. It was foul. Yeah, it went off.
Really?
It went off really, really quickly. I was so disappointed because that should be quite tasty, really quite refreshing. But yeah, I'll do the raspberry and mint again because honestly, that came out absolutely phenomenal. That's my favourite word on this podcast, isn't it?
Phenomenal. It's a great word.
Phenomenal.
Dave, have you ever done home brewing at all?
We used to have one of our little businesses was a website selling homebrew stuff. Homebrew for you. It's still there, the website is, although it's been redundant
for a while.
About 12 years. But we used to sell all the kit, and then we used to make the stuff, and then we used to take photos to show the process of making it and stuff like that. Used to, but a long time. Wow. I've got a mate who does loads of it all the time. He just takes anything. So when we've got grapevines in the garden, when the grapes are gone, he just prune all the leaves, he shoves them all in the bucket, makes wine out of it. He just makes stuff out of anything. Even he makes wine out of, he buys fruit tea bags. You know, you get fruit tea bags, just buy a cheap supermarket, own brand fruit tea bags, get into the bucket, get some yeast in there, makes lovely fruit wine.
It makes it sound dead easy.
I know, and that's where the Duchess came from.
But so, speaking of, I say home brew, we won't be producing our own beer, but there this year we're hoping to sponsor Beer and Gin Festival Barrel at the Old Sager Beer and Gin Festival. So that's on the horizon again. Obviously, last couple of years taking a bit of a toll because of COVID and stuff, but we're definitely looking at sponsoring a barrel for that. So. Not quite. We'll have to get our heads together and ever think about which one we want to. But we'll definitely be doing that. And that's a good day out. And if you haven't been before, we'll be there at some point. Andy, you're coming down. You don't know this yet, but you are. We're gonna spend an afternoon. Dave, more than welcome. Bring the family. Come down. Have a couple of beers. Tallboy Radio.
Dave's already said he's coming.
Oh, brilliant. There you go.
Yeah, so, he hasn't. Well, he will do.
He will, yeah. I could just see by the look in his face, have I really said that? An afternoon sitting in the sun, hopefully, drinking some sort of crafty homemade beers from various sort of local sort of brewers. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Why but doesn't definitely... just take his keg down and stick a TBR sticker on it?
You see, yeah, now you see that. That's...
No, don't sully our good name with it.
I was going to say, really bad.
is this as good as they can do? Yeah, okay, we won't bother. But no, we're definitely going to do that, aren't we, this year? We're going to sponsor a barrel and we'll see where we go from there. So it'd be good. We've been there, a couple of times before, haven't we? I don't think, Andy, I'm not sure whether you've been down before, but we'll definitely do it. Dave, you're coming, so we'll have a TBR sort of afternoon and we'll just get slowly, merrily drunk on various beers, which sounds good.
Sounds like what normally do.
Yeah, well, why change habit of any weekend?
Exactly.
Ad, do you want to apologise again for your comment earlier or not? Are you still happy with me?
No, I am very, very genuinely sorry about that. It was a flippant remark added in last minute. It wasn't scripted. And I do genuinely apologise because that actually isn't my opinion. Anyway, the Queen.
long live the Queen.
Yeah, bless her. The Queen is dead.
The Queen is going through gender reassignment.
Well, who knows? Nice moustache, big teeth.
That's why it's called Queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, on that note, I'm not quite sure how long we're into it, but we are going to wrap this up shortly, guys. So do you want to sort of say your sort of final goodbyes? And again, any final shout outs, any final, as Springer said, sort of final thoughts? Dave, Andy, add anything you want to add?
I'll just say thanks for having me again. Enjoyed it. And despite Gaz being the host, we managed to not get too sort of miserable and depressing. So it's quite good.
It's been upbeat. It's been upbeat with various comments that are possibly slanderous, but various potential bans from various social media sites again, but we'll wait and see. Yeah, no, Dave, honestly, it's great. You know, obviously we love having guests on. It's fantastic. It's brilliant that you're sort of coming on more regularly and stuff. Look forward to the next time that you're on and you can host. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't got a problem with you guest host. That could be something we can do, so you never know. Yeah, nice. Andy, any final thoughts?
I'll end with a quote, Conor McGregor.
Nice.
I'll take this opportunity to apologise for nothing. The Queen does what the fuck he wants.
I remember that. I wonder where you're going to get with that. Ad, come on.
Well, if Andy's going to finish on a quote, then I should probably finish on a Morrissey quote. So stop watching the news, because the news contrives to frighten you, to make you feel small and alone.
Good night.
Harry Potter!